Right. Good morning, everyone. It's so cool to be here. It really is a privilege. I know that's something that everybody always says when they come and preach as a, I wouldn't say a guest. I'm not a guest. I'm part of you as a family. I come from Josh Jen. I grew up in this house spiritually from the day I got saved. And so I still feel like I'm a part of you. My wife feels like we're a part of you as Josh Jen. But it's such a privilege to be here. And it's an incredible congregation. I said to someone just now, just your worship is unbelievable. The hunger you've got for the Lord's presence, the hunger you've got to just praise Him and worship Him is just incredible. And so thanks, Rian, for having me and the eldership team. I don't know if you guys had a choice in that or if you were told that I'm coming. Or, but I'll say thank you anyway. And so this morning, firstly, I want to say in worship, and I'm not saying this as a man, I'm so good. I was just so aware of God's goodness this morning in worship. Amen. And I was aware of His provision, His blessing, His grace, and not because, and I thought like, Lord, why am I feeling like this? Why am I so aware of this? And it's not because I drive an old car. I live in a normal house. You know, I don't have big savings accounts. I don't even own property. I don't have investments. Fortunately, you've taken up the offering already. So it's not to make you feel, but that's the reality. And then I think, but Lord, why am I so aware of your goodness and your kindness? And I just realize again, there's something of the provision that He made for me, which surpasses anything material. Anything that money can buy, anything that can happen on this earth, anything, there's a sense of the Lord has brought me for some reason in doing what He's doing through my life and in my life. And it's not because of anything I've done right. It's purely just actually trusting Him and relying on His goodness. And I want to share a word with you this morning that I feel is in season for you. Obviously, I would have prayed before coming here this morning. I would have asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say this morning to Edgemead AM? I feel like I want to share this word with you because I feel like the Lord wants to teach us as individuals and as a congregation what it looks like to stand on the truth, fight with the power of Jesus, and to still advance. So the title of my message is called Stand, Fight, and Advance. Amen? Who's excited about that? That's my intro. I don't do a whole preach before my intro. That was my intro. All right. And just to make me feel better, I like feedback. Okay, not microphone feedback. I like feedback. If you feel like it's good, just say, it's good, because it makes me feel better. All right. Just for my sake. And one of the things I feel like I do want to touch on this morning, more than just that, I feel like there's a fight on for your contentment. I feel like there's a fight on for your godly contentment. And I feel like for some of us, there's a fight on for that because if the enemy can keep you in a place of discontent, it'll keep you focused on where you're at right now and where you'd like to be. And it'll keep you focused on why you're not where you'd like to be. And it'll keep you missing what God is doing in you right now. Amen? Which is why I feel like there's a sense of us as Christians, it's actually vital to our salvation that we learn what it looks like to stand on the truth of who Jesus is and for His resurrection power to be at work in our lives, not now and then on a weekly basis, but every single day when you put your foot out of your bed. Amen? There's a fight on for your contentment. And I believe that for some of you, the start of you winning battles will be in you finding your contentment in God. And I want to share a very short story with you. But before that, Sean brought a little word. Sorry, not a little word. It's a big, great word, amazing word. But it was short. And he doesn't know. And I want to say to you again, as a congregation, if you feel the Lord speaking to you, be obedient in sharing what the Lord's saying to you. And if it's not right, then who cares? But this morning I went to him and I said, Brew, well done. for sharing that word, because in you sharing that word, it brought a confirmation on what the Lord is wanting to say to you. He didn't have a clue what I was preaching this morning. But he had this word and a picture, and sorry, I'm just going to quickly share it, and if I'm wrong, just say he's lying, and then we'll carry on. So he had a picture of a teacup or a coffee cup. I think it was a teacup. So let's say it was a teacup. And inside this teacup was a dollop of honey. And the taste of this teacup still tasted not sweetened. It was just tea. Okay, that's actually how I like to drink my tea, just no sweetener. But the reason why it didn't taste like honey was because the honey was sitting at the bottom of the teacup. It wasn't stirred. It wasn't mixed into the substance of what it was in. And the reason why this was so significant, I never shared this with him, is because every single one of us here that know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who he took from a place of captivity and slavery and no promise and no destiny, every single one of us that came to a point where we took Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and said, Jesus, you are the only way. You are the truth and the light. You are the way to the Father. In that very moment, Jesus and his power and his resurrection power came and lived inside of you. Amen? The reality is that that power could be living inside of you and be dormant. And hear what I'm saying here, please. It could just be there and you could still be living in captivity every single day through the circumstances that you're going through because you don't rest on the power of the cross every day. It's just, you're still held captive because you're more overwhelmed by your situations than you are about the truth that Jesus has brought into your life. You're focusing more on the challenges you've got than the beauty of the cross. And that's what I want to touch on this morning. And I want to say this. When it comes to fighting in the kingdom, there's something about fighting the battle that's in front of you, not worrying about the battle that might lie ahead of you one day. You got to fight the one that's there now. And we can so easily get so wrapped up in, but what about one day? And can I say to you this morning that that one day might never even happen? So you're freaking out about something that might never be a reality, where there's something right now that the Lord wants you to do and to fight and to get through and to find victory in. Can you each just think of it and almost like just picture a battle in your life right now that the Lord's been asking you to fight? I know I've got one. I know that we're facing one right now. But I want to say it starts with the one that's in front of you now. And I remember 9 years ago, before we planted, you know, my wife and I, or I maybe, always had this thing of, I'm a little bit of an entrepreneur. I like always starting businesses and starting stuff. And might be why the Lord asked me to plant a church, because I'm a bit of I like that kind of stuff, you know. And at one point, we were quite successful in business. We're doing quite well, and it wasn't through just the church coffee shop that I ran at one point. We actually had another business and was doing quite well. We're living in a Bloberg beachfront apartment and had new cars, and it was just lying in my bed. I can see Table Mountain with the ocean in front of it. I mean, come on, that's pretty amazing. And then the Lord just sort of like changed all of that. I thought it was just the devil attacking me, but there was a plan that the Lord had. And the next thing we know, we find ourselves in a 454 square meter apartment in the backside of Cape Town. And my only outside view is a little bit of a wooden deck and a very high white wall in front of me. And so when I braai, instead of looking at Table Mountain and the little cloud that covers it, I'm looking at a white wall. And I almost wanted to draw Table Mountain on the wall just so I felt a little bit better. And the one day, I always had this dream of, I want my kids to have a garden to play in and to run in and a pool to jump in and swim in and a tree house that I can build for them. So I need a tree. And I had all these dreams because my dreams were completely different to what the Lord actually wanted me to dream about. And I remember standing with my little braai. It was very small because my little courtyard was very small. So I had to have a little small braai with little small tongs and 4 briquettes and I braai Sosatis because that's the only thing I could fit on the braai. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what we braai. I can't remember, but it was something cheap because it's all we could afford. And a mushroom or something. And we're not vegetarians, by the way. And I'm braaiing and I'm just overwhelmed by my current situation. And by where I'd like to be, but where I'm at right now. And I feel the Lord speak to me in a moment. And I want to say this, up until that moment, I had not felt the Lord speak to me this clearly or at all for quite a long time. And I believe the reason was because I was so focused on my current situation. I was so focused about between the difference of now and then. And I remember this moment, the Lord says to me, "Hey, Gerrit, if this is your future for the rest of your life, will you still serve me?" And I knew it was like urgent in my spirit. I had to immediately answer. And I said, "Yeah, Lord." And I was like, "What am I saying? Yeah, Lord, I will." I never even told my wife about it. I don't think I did. We share everything, but no, I didn't share that with her. It was between me and the Lord. And 8 months later, 9 months later, the Lord speaks to us and he calls us to where we are now. And we plant a church, and I mean, that's a whole other story. I won't bore you with that thing. But there was a moment where we now in this house, because property is much cheaper up there. I mean, in Cape Town, to live in a big house is like a joke, you know. And so we're able to rent, not buy, rent this house. And I find myself in a tree, building a tree house, and in a moment, forgetting what I'd asked the Lord. Building a tree house, and like it's like the Lord immediately says to me, "Hey, you're busy building a tree house. And there's a pool in your backyard. And there's a front garden and a back garden." And in that moment, I'm like, "Yes, Lord, how sweet this is." But let me say this to you, just because in the moment you get that thing, because the joke is that from there we actually moved into our proper dream house not long after that. I mean, the Lord just miraculously gave us our proper dream house. And does anyone have a tissue for me? Because my wife's watching, and when I sniff, she can't handle it. She's going to phone any of you now, or any one of you.
Thanks, bro.
And the story I'm trying to tell to you, share with you this morning, is a story of contentment. Because after that, we did move into our dream, absolute dream house. I mean, when I say dream house, I mean, it was ridiculous. We felt embarrassed for people to come over because they're going to think we're skimming money from the tithe boxes or something. But it was that kind of God's provision, but it was God that provided. But then that house was taken away. We went and lived in the flat again. But let me tell you, there was a battle that was fought that kept us in a place of contentment in the Lord and trusting and hoping, not in this, but in that. And I want to say to you this morning, I believe the Lord is going to point out certain battles that you need to fight. For some of you, it would be contentment. It would be to say, "Lord Jesus, if this is my story, if this is it, the promise that you've got speaks nothing of this life. It's actually about that life." Amen? How long have I gone now? I don't even know. That was my introduction. So I want to say to you this morning, my prayer is that the gospel, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is stirred up inside of you this morning. That there's a sense of the Lord wants to take, he wants you to take ground in your own life. And I want to say to you this morning, if you in almost at Sunningdale, in Edgemead AM, you are placed here for a reason. It's not by chance. You might think you're here by chance, but you're not here by chance. You're in this congregation for this congregation to stand and fight in your geographical area and to advance the kingdom of God. You're placed where you are right now in your workplace and in your life and in whatever you're doing and the shops that you go to every day and where you put your fuel in and whatever you do or where you go to play school or whatever you're doing, you're placed there to stand and fight and for the kingdom to advance no matter how well it's going with you. And I feel like I want to say that again. No matter how well it's going with you, that's still the truth. Because the power of Christ is more than anything you could be going through. Sometimes as Christians, it's like we're aware of the forgiveness of our sins. It's all about the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus on the cross, he died for our sins. But we forget that actually the full gospel is that Jesus was crucified for our sins. He died, but he also rose again. That's the full gospel. And so many Christians are stuck at the place where they just, "Oh, Jesus, thank you for giving my sins. Jesus, thank you for this." And then they get struck with hardships and difficult times and they forget that the full gospel is Jesus resurrected. His resurrection power in you, where His grace is sufficient for you. His grace empowers you to get through whatever you're going right now. And I believe we need to become a people that are familiar with what it looks like to stand and fight and advance. Amen? Yeah, I feel like I've gone so long. And I want to use a little story. I'm going to use a scripture. And David is one of my favorite characters. I mean, what a guy. For many reasons. And I want to look at an aspect of David's life. And we all know that David fought a battle, a great battle. Well, he fought many wars and after becoming king, but he fought a battle. What's that battle? He fought Goliath. He fought Goliath. And it's funny, we're so aware of the great battle between David and Goliath. But we forget the battles David fought before the day he met Goliath. We think like he took a little sling and some pebbles and he threw it at David, and then somehow, because of his skills in the field, he hit this giant and he overcame him. But we forget that there was something that led him to the confidence to face another battle, things that he had already fought, that led him to a place of confidence in the Lord. Fight the battle the Lord is highlighting to you today. 1 Samuel 17 verse 33. It says this. Now obviously, most of you should know the backstory here. David became aware of this Philistine, and he was just absolutely just irritated with his fellow countrymen's response to this giant. And so he's saying to Saul, I'm going to fight this guy, giant. I'm paraphrasing massively, but you get the story. I'm giving you context. And so in verse 33, it says, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. And he's been a warrior from his youth. And David's thinking, I've been a warrior from my more youth. Because he was a youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it and rescued a sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and I struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Some of us are so fixated on the fact that we want to slay Goliath, but the Lord has put bears and lions in front of you that He's already long ago said to you, you need to take your hands to them. You're so focused on Goliath that you want to take down, or Goliath that you're even facing, and the Lord says, don't worry, I'm gracious and kind and I want to show you something. Come and fight this lion right now. Some of us have been in a habit of actually, we're faced with a lion carrying off our sheep. And what we do is we grab the other sheep and we run. Come on. Instead of facing it. Don't grab your sheep and run. Don't grab what you can save and run. Face it. Take it down. Because if you take a sheep and you run, around the next corner there's going to be another lion or another bear. It's going to be there until you face it. Amen? This morning, I want to say to you, face the lion, face the bear. Can I tell you a corny joke? I always wondered when I read this, how did the bear feel about David killing the bear with his bare hands? My wife's cringing right now. It's painful. So Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you, because there's a young man standing in front of him confidently saying, I know what my Lord and my God can and will do. I want to say to you this morning, there's a destiny and a promise for you in God, but whether you walk in it or not, is determined by the battles you face today or don't face today. We know of a people in the Old Testament that had an incredible promise, but they were so dismayed by the desert that they never walked into that promise. They didn't stand and live in the truth of what God had already done among them. So when the Nephilim came about and all these things that they heard about, they just shrink back and they never walked into it. Don't be like them. So we know that. Where am I now? 1 Samuel. So yeah, let's carry on with that story just quickly. And I'm going to land this now. Familiar words. 1 Samuel 17 verse 45. David said to this Philistine. So now he's facing him. He's full of confidence. This Philistine's like, what are you doing? And David says to this Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. He's standing on the rock. The God of the armies of Israel, the truth, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Faith. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. My question is to you, and the way you live your life and the way that you stand on the truth of who Jesus Christ is in your life, with faith that you fight the battles that he's asked you to fight, can the world look at you and go, it is not by sword or spear or javelin that you're fighting this. The Lord God is at work in your life. This is incredible. It's when we join the world with our anxieties and our fears and our issues and the promises that we want to see on this earth, and we become completely dismayed like the Israelites did, that we're not able to fight by the truth of God. We face the same battles every day for years and years and years. I said to someone last night, I've been seeing quite a few people that I haven't, and it's not you guys, just so I know, so you know. How do I word this? I've seen quite a few people just since I've been in Cape Town that I haven't seen in a long time. And in seeing them again, I'm like, I don't say this to them, my heart breaks. I'm like, how can they still be in the same place they were 9 years ago? How's it possible that they're still struggling with the same things? Don't they know Jesus that lives inside of them? Don't they know that he saved them, not just for heaven one day, but he saved them to have the kingdom break out on earth? Don't they know that? Don't they know the power that's within them? Don't they know that he's got a calling for them? That he wants more for them? Around the mountain. Around the mountain. Not fighting the battles in front of you right now. Don't be like one of them. My heart breaks because I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, like, there's so much more. Amen? So, David uses this weapon, and we know, what's the weapon? I mean, weapon is a sling with like little 5 rocks, and I know people say, yeah, it was representing, what do they say? Representing different things. They have all kinds of different theories. I want to say to you this morning, the weapon he used is irrelevant. Do you know that? It was his confidence in God that won the battle. It wasn't the weapon he was using. His weapon was his trust, his faith, and the truth of God. Stop looking at your weapons. Your weapon is those very things. Am I shouting at you? I'm sorry. And then he took Goliath's own sword and he cut off his head. He killed it. And again, I want to say, I feel like it's a symbolic thing. I'm not saying it is. Like, for me, when I read that, I'm thinking like, he didn't just kill the guy, he cut off the very head of it. So don't deal with your battles and just deal with it sort of. Deal with it proper, cut off its head. Kill it. Don't bruise it. Then we fast forward, and I want you to remember that David was given an incredible earthly promise. Who here has been given incredible earthly promises? Come on. I have. I pray that the Lord gives more of you promises for what he wants to bring you into on this earth. Because I do believe the Lord does have promises for us on this earth. And there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that is when that becomes our everything, it's the only thing we pursue. David was given this promise from the Lord, and the Lord obviously was anointed by Samuel to become king one day, but when he was anointed, he was only a little boy. And then he goes through and he's still faithful in his father's house. He still does what he has to do, and he carries on with it every day, and he lives in the truth of God, and he faces the bear and he faces the lion, and he fights battles and he faces bigger battles. He fights that battle. And then I believe he faced the battle of his life, because he comes into Saul's service, and when it's meant to be looking like he's going to be king now any day, I mean, he's even he's not temple courts, he's in his castle courts or whatever it might be, and it's like he's on track. Who's ever been there? I'm on track for me to come into the promise that God's given to me. Looks like it's gonna come any moment now, and then Saul's out to kill him, and you think, what now? There's your plan gone. It's all gone. So what happens is David starts running from Saul. Obviously, he wants to not die. And he's running, and he comes to a place, and he at Nob. Crazy name. And David asked the priest there, verse 8. Should have given you the whole thing. 1 Samuel 28, verse 8. David asked, "Don't you have a sword or a spear here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent." So he's bending the truth. The king's mission is to kill him. Okay, so he's kind of bending the truth, but he's not fully lying. I mean, the king's mission is to kill him as quickly as possible. The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There's no sword here but that one." Then David says, "There's none like it. Give it to me." Do you see how once again a battle that David fought the last time becomes a supply for the battles that he needs to fight now against Saul? He comes to Nob with no weapon, and because he killed Goliath, the last battle he faced, he now has a weapon to fight the battle he's going to face in the next season. Do you get that? Suddenly he has a weapon. If he didn't kill Goliath, Goliath's sword will still be in his hand. There's this pattern that God brings about in our lives where the gospel is in us. It's like that teacup with a honey dollop that's stirred, and it's constantly stirred. Do you know how you stir it? The Bible says this: daily renew your minds. Do you know how else it's stirred? Wake up every morning aware that the Bible says his mercies are new for us daily. Do you know how else it's stirred? It's every morning we wake up and we say, "Lord Jesus, this morning I choose to pick up my cross," because your word says, pick up your cross daily. Every day. Not once a week when you're faced with calamity. Every single day. It's an awareness of your dependence on Jesus Christ and his life at work in your life. That becomes the sweetness of that tea. The sweetness of the gospel at work in your life. So David now has a weapon to pursue his enemy. And obviously one of the greatest battles I think he fought was to not meddle with the promises that God gave him on the earth, which is to become king, but to rest and trust that when it will happen, and when it should happen, and if it ever does happen, he's going to trust God. Contentment. Contentment. It's resting in God. "Lord, everything's coming against me right now. But God, you said, Can you imagine if you just said, well, I'm giving up. I'm over it. Can you imagine? I feel like some of us have faced the complete trek to receiving the promises of God, and then something comes in the way. And we've gone nuts. I'm done now. I'm over it. I'm finished. So my question to you this morning, as I'm really landing. First question is, what battles have you not yet fought? I feel like there's a sense of surety and assurance about the power of Jesus that he wants to come and anoint us with this morning, bring into us. A fresh sense of, God, how have I lost the wonder of the cross in my life? How have I settled? What battles have you not yet fought? What battles have you become aware of that you might never face, that have taken your eyes off of the now? The second question is, do you need to get back into the fight? I just want to say to you, as a Christian, you are not called to cope with life. I feel like I want to say that again. Your purpose and destiny on the earth, while you're still here, before you go to be with Jesus, it's not to cope with life. It's not just to find and wrestle your way through. Your destiny in God on the earth while you're still here is to learn to stand on the truth of the gospel, to fight, and to advance with faith. And I want to say this. Some of you, I believe, you have a misunderstanding of what faith is. I feel like some of us, the Lord has asked you to do certain things, and your response is, but God, I don't have the faith for it. And I want to say to you, I don't think you'll ever have the faith for it until you step out and do it. Once you step out and you do it, the Lord will supply your faith. It's a cop-out to say, I don't have the faith for this. It's a Christianese thing that we keep on throwing out there. It's the same with grace. I don't have the grace for this. Therefore, I'm not stepping into the purposes of God for my life. It's a cop-out. You don't understand the scripture. It says, run to the throne of grace and ask Jesus for more grace to do what you cannot do without him. If you don't have grace, run to him to find grace. Don't say you're not going to do it because you don't have grace. Well, okay, cool. Then there's something you can do about it. I don't have the faith for this. Well, let me tell you something. The great men of old, the men of faith, they stepped out and did what God asked. They didn't have the faith first. They did it, and then they received faith to do it. There's some of you here that will do things that are far greater than some of us here. Rian, myself, Hammy, like, there's some of you here that are called to do far greater things. Not like what we do is so great, but like, there's something about you living out the fullness and the purpose of God in your life. You know what? Were you standing in worship, like, 25 minutes ago, and you're going, dear Jesus, I feel so uncomfortable right now. That was me. Oh, Lord God, I'm doubting my word. I'm like, no. Man, get uncomfortable. Jesus, you can do it. Oh, Lord, why do I say that? Lord, I'm going to get up there, grab the mic. I'm going to do this because I've seen you do it so many times before where I feel so uncomfortable. But I know you've done something because I fought other little battles in you. And so I'm going to go in and you're going to supply what's lacking. Amen? Amen? Get back in the fight. Rian, I don't know how you want to land this, bro, but up to me. There we go. So what I want to do in my congregation, well, in our congregation, in the congregation that I lead, we love responses, man. We love getting before the Lord and saying, oh, Jesus, forgive me. And it's not always about just being sackcloth and ashes. It's sometimes, oh, Lord, I've just become aware that I can marvel at and celebrate and stand on the power of your cross at work in my life every day. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you so many stories where we've had to live this out. For the sake of time, I can't do it because there's just too many. Being ill-equipped. Nothing good to bring. And the only good thing I have is the cross. And my story of him taking a hold of my life. Do you have a story of Jesus taking a hold of your life every day? Story of how you fought battles. You can begin that story today. No matter how long you've served the Lord. No matter how long you've served Jesus. Just this morning we can respond and say, Lord, I realize this battle. Maybe I've just been bruising it. I haven't cut off its head. Lord, this morning, I want to do. Maybe for some of you, it's actions you need to take. Maybe for some of you, it's bringing forgiveness where it's not merited, but the Lord's asking you to forgive. Maybe for some of you, it's to love where love is not deserved. Maybe for some of you, it's to trust where all the signs are showing somewhere else, but you know God is saying. For some of you, it's to step out and be used by God. You know he's been asking you. For some of you, it's to lay down your dreams of a distant future and to be faithful with now. What is he putting in front of you right now? So maybe, I don't know if we can call the worship team up maybe. And maybe just for the rest of us, just while they come up, let's not get distracted because I do feel there's a moment where the Lord is speaking right now. I do feel he's speaking to us. I feel like he's, in a very tender way, actually bringing some stuff to us this morning. So maybe if that's you, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Even just focus on him. Focus on the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Even maybe that day you got saved, the day you encountered him for the first time. The wonder of that. The way your life changed forever and you had all these dreams of what God might do in your life and you faced challenges. You began to face challenges and you went off course. And what he wants to do. Maybe you got stuck a bit. And if you want to say this morning, Jesus, I want to be unstuck. I want to be unstuck in the way I'm growing in you. Why don't you stand with me? If you want to say this morning, Jesus, I want to be unstuck. I don't want to be held back. I don't want to be held back by discontentment. I don't want to be held back by like pie in the sky ideas when actually you've supplied everything that I need right now. Say, Jesus, that's me. Maybe for those that are responding, just open your hands to the Lord and say, Jesus, thank you that I can receive fresh grace this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your word says. Just pray your own prayer to Jesus. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I can receive fresh grace. Thank you, Jesus, that your word says I can run to the throne of grace, that I have access to you because of your son. Thank you, Lord God, that this is not a once-off response that I'm bringing and giving and like now my life's going to be sorted. Lord, thank you that you love it when I'm dependent on you. I feel like the Lord this morning was to kill spirits of independence. And he wants to say to you, Jesus loves it when you are dependent on him. He loves it. In fact, it's the very way he wants to relate to you, is you being aware of your dependence on him every single day. This morning we can say, Lord, thank you that I need you so much. Thank you that I can do nothing outside of you. Thank you that I don't need to pretend like I've got some stuff sorted in my life. But that every day I can be honest with you and just genuine with you. Lord, thank you that you know everything that goes on in my life in any case. So Lord, from today, and I believe some of us need to pray this prayer. Lord, from today, I'm going to begin to pray the deepest secrets of my heart to you. I feel like some of us are even hiding the deep secrets of our hearts to God as if he cannot see what's in your heart. And this morning he says, hey, just bring me the deep secrets of your heart. Not because I don't know them, but because you acknowledge that you need me. I believe the Lord's going to begin to bring freedom in those areas and begin to provoke the advancement of the kingdom through you. Come, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Should we just... Then I was actually, thanks, Rian reminded me of this, which is actually so important. And, man, I get emotional about this. I think of my own life. So broken and messed up. Like, before I met Jesus, I want to give those that have never come to know Jesus in this way, have never had the moment or the opportunity to give their lives to Him, to yield to His Lordship. I want to give you the opportunity this morning. So if you've never come to the point in your life where you've had a revelation that Jesus is the only way to bring you back to the Father, He's the only person that can bring you to wholeness. No job, no money, no person, no husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, amount of friends can bring you to wholeness in your life. Nothing. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Maybe this morning you realize, oh my word, I've been trying to do all these different things, but only Jesus, His cross and His power, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ can save me and bring me to wholeness. This morning I want to say, Jesus, come and do that in me. Come and do that in me. Lord, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. I want to be close to You. Lord, I want to give my heart to You. So if that's you, if you've never, just with every eye closed except for mine, every head bowed except for mine, if that's you this morning,